Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 331st episode of Constructed Criticism. I'm your host, Mason, joined by my co-host, Allie. Allie, how's your Tuesday going?
It's going. It's Tuesday.
Oh, it's Tuesday? Isn't that the day? Like, in your house, it's like a sacred day, right?
It's a sacred day for Dylan, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it better when he just posted the low-quality GIF, and now it's like a whole thing, and just back in my day, memes were different, you know? I just can't keep up with you Zoomers, so.
Yeah, are you a meme boomer?
I'm at least a meme millennial. Maybe I'm a boomer. I might be, like, on that age where it's like, you know, I can shift depending on where the hate's going type thing. You know, like, people born 96, they're like, oh, yeah, Zoomers are out of here. Millennials, yeah, get them out of here. You know, you just kind of go where the flow takes you.
I don't know. That's some pretty big boomer energy you got there.
That's so true, though. Maybe I am a boomer. Oh, no. Everyone's a boomer when they hit 30, though, right? Like, that's just, like, once you're 30, you're just a boomer. Like, you could be 33 years from now, and you're still just a boomer. That's just how it works, you know? That'd be me.
Ouch. Ouch.
Time comes for everyone, Allie.
That's fair.
Yeah. Kind of like this amazing podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about negative spiraling and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited to talk about that. That's a topic that I think doesn't get discussed enough in magic and is super important and super impactful. But first, we have to do the main point of the show, which is always improving. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And I'll take things off here. My always improving moment was actually sitting down and studying Valorant. So it wasn't magic related in that sense, but it was kind of taking the same lessons I've learned from watching coverage and doing the magic thing and applying them to Valorant. And I just like watched most of a tournament yesterday and like did a lot of stopping and thinking about like why they would do that and like looking things up and listening. So just kind of taking that learning style and approach and applying it to a different game and to work on that sort of thing. So that was how I spent my late night yesterday, and that was my always improving moment for the week. What about you, Allie?
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, for my always improving, I actually did something so holy this week, so magnificent. I brewed a deck.
Did it have black, red, and green cards in it?
Oh, it did not. So wow. Very, very outside of my element. Yeah. I did initially take a list, one of Yeoman 5, Adam Hernandez's list, from his article of what to try out when M21 comes out. And I saw something, it was an Is It Prowess list, and probably talked about this like a ton in the past week in various different platforms, but actually just like sitting down and working with a largely unexplored like archetype in the current standard format, just kind of like flexing different muscles in my brain. I think it like, even if this deck ends up being like trash, just like having that different skill set, I think just helps improve me as a Magic player overall.
Yeah, I big agree with that. Is it hard to believe that we went back 14 months ago from right about now and we told people Crackling Drake would be a joke of a card that's just now getting explored again? Do you think they believe us? Because 14 months ago, that card was like a tier one, won the Invitational, did great at the Pro Tour, crushed Grand Prix. Like, Crackling Drake was like a magic card. And then I haven't seen it since this deck. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. That definitely is the thing, like, seeing how a great card in one format just like isn't even seen play right now. It's a just interesting concept in general.
Yeah, it really does show that like magic is like a game of like the pieces around it at that point, right? Like a card can be really strong, but if things like Teferi and Mystical Dispute exist, it's really hard for 4-mana tap out cards to really exist. So
yeah, for sure.
Yep. So, Allie, I asked you on stream today, and I couldn't get the clip, but I can do it now. Would you agree with the statement that Crackling Drake is the blue-red Uro?
I still just, like, don't think I should give an answer to that.
You heard me take a drink on the podcast today. That was for dramatic effect. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree. Reply to the show on Twitter if you do agree with me that blue, blue, red, red is the same as green, green, blue, blue from the graveyard. You both draw a card and they both win the game when they attack. Moving on to our Patreon question of this week. If you want to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg. And you can ask a question that can be put onto the show as long as talking to us, sharing ideas to the people in the community, and a bunch of other really cool stuff coming down the pipeline. This week's question was thoughts on Aaron Forsythe's tweet in response to Ninja. So, for the people that aren't on there, I'm going to now read Ninja's tweet and then Aaron Forsythe's reply. So, Ninja, if you don't know, is a one of the biggest streamers in the world, and he plays like competitive Fortnite and Valorant, and is like a good player, but not like, you know, a top of the line player. Ninja tweets, pro tip for any competitive game, don't play a meta champ slash agent just because it's the meta. Play your best, most comfortable agent slash champ, and that will deliver you better results. Then he gives an example from Valorant that I'm going to just switch for Magic. Don't pick up Growth Spiral decks just because we don't have a Growth Spiral deck if you're bad at Growth Spiral decks. So he says a different agent from Valorant, but that's probably not applicable to our listeners. Someone says, if you're playing Magic, don't do this. Play the best deck, lol. And then Aaron Forsythe responded with, I don't think this is true. There are decks like Team Wreck with a really high skill ceiling. If you aren't among the best players in the room, can you afford to play Mirrors all day? Allie, this question is especially apt, considering we both decided to play Team Wreck in a Pro Tour, and one of us top-8ed. What are your thoughts on the Ninja thing and Aaron? There's a lot here, and I imagine this is going to be a, you know, a little bit of a discussion, since this is kind of a bigger question.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just like a lot of aspects you can go to approach this concept or question or whatever. I think largely before we like dive into it a little more, I think overall I agree with what Aaron Forsythe said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say my like blanket statement is that I lean more towards playing the best thing compared to a different thing on average, but you should definitely keep this in context. One of our mutual friends, Emma, actually, there was a little bit of a Twitter discussion about this last night, and she said something that was great, and I actually have the tweet up here, that I think basically what she says is there are sometimes tournaments that it's more important to win the tournament than it is to be the best Magic player possible, right? So, like, while Team Wreck might be the best deck and playing it, you know, will let you flex yourself as the best Magic player or whatever, let's just say something like Imri combo with Kethis is the thing you should be playing because it gives you the best chance to spike the tournament, or it's the best chance to 10-5 a tournament. I know, Allie, the both of us have definitely played tournaments where we were just like, honestly, I just need to make day two and 3-3 day two, and that is like my goal, right? Like, Invitational for you last year, and there was an Open for me where it was like trying to lock up buys, where it's just like, I don't, like, winning the tournament is great, but I would just take a genie request to like get the minimum number of points, because if I get those minimum number of points for day two, I'm going to lock up the thing I want. And so I do think that plays a big part in this. And that's basically to say that knowing your goals matters a lot, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, is just to kind of paraphrase what you just said, is knowing your goals for a specific tournament really kind of influences what deck you're gonna pick. I think there's like a ton of times where I just like registered, is it Phoenix and Modern, because I wanted like a top 16 or something. I know, like, even in Standard, like, I just knew the mono red deck a couple Standards ago extremely well, so if I just wanted to like make my money back, I would just play it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, at the end of last year, and I really started grinding SCGs, like, my thing was, okay, set up a buy so then 2020 was set up for a buy, so then 2020 you have that buy and you can, you know, start to make a run of things, get the ball going. And so like a rule was like, I have to play decks that can like at least, that are like reasonable decks that will get me like at least an X5. You know, I've got to get those 6 points or whatever minimum, because I need to like catch up to all these people that have been playing all year. And so I definitely made choices where it's like, yeah, maybe Jeskai Ascendancy Urza is the best deck this weekend. I'm not sure, that might be the best one to spike a tournament with, but I know that Once Upon a Time, Amulet Titan, you know, I can get a 10-5 or whatever. And so I played that deck over this deck because my goal lined up with, I need to get at least 6 points this weekend. I will not be happy if I leave with less than 6 points, you know? So, yeah, I think there's a lot to that. And I also think that in games like Magic, there is a lot of skill to Magic. I don't want to say there's not, because it's just obviously there is. It's just silly to not say there is. But there is a random element and a variance introduced into the game, and it's not like a Street Fighter or a Valorant type game where the randomness is super, super small or non-existent depending on the game. And picking something that is clearly the best, like by a mile, will just absolutely carry you in a lot more matchups than it will in Magic. If you were to play the Oko Blue Green deck from the Pro Tour for the beginning of the year in like an open or a GP field, you're going to have an edge on players, but it doesn't guarantee you anything, right? Like, you can still mold a five, you can still have all these terrible things happen to you. If you were to do that in a fighting game, as long as you can execute your moves, you're going to have a huge leg up until you get to people that are actually significantly better than you. So I do think that that is something to keep in mind, that it's like, hey, I really like this deck. It's like 3% worse or whatever, if you could quantify it. Just play the deck you really like if you think it's going to go further. Because I do think that some element of like being miserable is going to affect your play in other ways. And that's going to hurt, you know, the unbeatable deck. If you hate casting Oko, it makes you feel miserable, makes you do all the other things, and makes your focus on the game go away. Don't do that. Do the thing that's going to do best for you and play your, I don't even know what the other deck was at the time, Fires of Invention deck. That deck doesn't even have Oko. How good can it be? So, you know, that's just my kind of thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I am most likely someone to play the best deck. Probably, I'd say, like, 85% of the time. But, like, I think there's, like, a fair amount of times where just, like, I don't vibe with the new deck or the best deck. I'm not comfortable in my, like, skill level in that deck. Or, I don't know, like, sometimes you just, like, aren't good at a specific archetype. So if that happens, I'm not going to force myself to play the best deck unless it's like PT Oko. Like, you have to just play Oko. You have to suck it up and play Oko. But like, if it's not on that level, if it's just like, like Urza is the best deck or whatever. Like, if we're looking back in like January, that was very clearly like, Oko, Urza, whatever, was the best deck. But there was still Mono Red Prowess. Like, that was still a viable deck. If I didn't know how to play the Urza deck, because that deck was, like, really, really complicated, and there were a lot of micro decisions, I would just play Mono Red Prowess because I'm familiar with it, or, like, whatever. Like, that's just an example, but... Mm-hmm. If there's another option, you should play what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And there's nothing wrong with being like, I'm not good at this type of thing, or, you know, I don't quite understand this, and there can be learning moments later. But sometimes maybe this is your one Grand Prix, right, of the year, or your one SCG, or your one event, and you just really want to do the best you can. There's nothing wrong with saying, yes, maybe over the course of 10 years, me playing this Urza deck at this event is better for me, because I'll like have that learning experience, whatever, and be a building block. There's nothing wrong with being like, I'm going to play Prowess because I know Prowess and I want to try and have a good finish. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So just knowing your goals, I think, is super important. And yeah, I think all this stuff is really interesting. There's a lot of very interesting discussion going on Twitter. If you want to go check out Aaron Forsythe's tweet, he and Brad had a conversation. I think Sam Black gets in on it for a bit. So very interesting. If you're interested in that, you can check that out. And that's a big thank you for our patrons for asking that question. If you don't want to be a patron, another way you can support the show is go to Oasis Games. They're our sponsor. If you use code CCMTG at checkout, you will get 4% off every order. And if you use code WouldThatBeGood, you get 15% off your first order. So that way, you'll be able to support the show in a different way while you're helping yourself get Magic cards. You can even pick up Teferi Masters of Time. Allie, do you know how much that Teferi is right now? It's absurd.
Well, I was gonna guess like $22, but now I don't think so. Let's go to a website right now and look it up.
It is $65 last time I checked, which was yesterday.
Teferi, what is it? It's Teferi.
I think it's Master of Time.
All right.
Time Master, maybe.
To be fair, it's not technically released yet, right?
That's true. So. That's true. Yep.
All right, we got. About like $50, yeah.
Yeah. So you can pick those up at Oasis Games and boom, get your 4% off on that order. Pow, a lot cheaper there, especially if you're buying in bulk. You can then, you know, also get some store credit back using their system if you buy from them a lot. So it's pretty great. Kind of get a little cycle going, a little production line. I assume that card's great in Commander, by the way, before I move on. Just you get to loot so much.
Oh, yeah, you're probably just, like, getting to ult that thing super quickly. You can end up doing it, like, in between your opponent's turns in Commander and just...
That's funny. I didn't think about that, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, your player one gets to, like, player three's turn. You're like, all right, minus my Teferi, take two turns before player four. They're like, oh, man.
I guess with doubling season, it would be very easy to do that, where you're just, like, play it, it's at 8, go to 10, go to 12, ult in their upkeep, and then, like, get back to it by the next person. So it's like you take two turns for every person in the pod. That's kind of sick. Oh, that's wild. Okay. Well, that might be part of the reason why this card's so expensive. I was thinking, wow, the non-existent standard format has really made this card hyped up. But I guess now that I talked about it out loud, Commander, I guess that might be a large reason for it too. Wild. All right, well, we're going to move on to our main topic. And the topic for this week's show is fixating on what we don't know and can't do, negative spiraling. Allie, when I'm talking about this kind of negative spiraling thing, what am I referring to? Like, what is like an example of this?
So this could be something like just kind of like fixating on a lot of things you're doing wrong. I know we were talking a little bit before the show about like, I don't know, it's kind of like a good thing to point out like things you do wrong and you can grow from it and learn from it. But the issue comes when that just kind of turns into this negative spiral that we're trying to like address and talk about today, right? Like, you only look at the bad things you're doing. You can never identify anything that you've done well in the match. You start like fixating on things that aren't even necessarily wrong, but because you're in the mindset like, oh, I did this wrong. Even if, like, say you made the right play and you're just, like, questioning yourself so much that you turn into this negative spiral. And then it just, like, ends up affecting your play, the game, how you feel about yourself, just a lot of other aspects in your life.
For sure. And think about how harmful that is, right? We always talk about how you want to, like, try to look back on your games and review what's going on in the match, etc., and, like, try to learn from them. And you're negative spiraling and you're, like, gosh, I definitely should not have cast that Wilderness Reclamation on turn 4 when they were tapped out. I should have done this other thing. That was clearly wrong. I opened myself up to their wilt, you know, and just like, gosh, I'm so dumb. And you're like, wait, they were tapped out. It's Team of Reclamation. You play your Reclamation. You do your thing. You have your mana back. You're fine. Right? And like, getting those kind of spirals, you can lead to some really bad things. And that's not even talking about how the mood, but you just come up with these flawed assumptions, right? Especially if you have no one to check yourself on. You know, if you're kind of flying solo or you're not sharing those thoughts, talking out, that can be hugely detrimental to your growth and your play.
Oh, yeah. I was streaming the other day and I just, I got like kind of annoyed with the match in general and I ended up just like conceding while swinging for lethal just because I didn't like see it and this like affected me too much. So, like, yeah, like, this, I think, is an important thing to talk about. And it's really hard to, like, even identify in the first place sometimes.
Yeah, it's so easy in the moment to just be like, gosh, nothing's going right. This is so terrible. I'm doing so poorly. Like, how many times have you made a mistake, Allie? And we're watching a friend make a mistake, and they're just beating themselves up verbally out loud about that for the rest of the match. Like, they're making a play and they're like, tap my mana right this time, or left up mana leak mana, or before combat, you know, and they like emphasize this thing that they did wrong earlier in the game, where, hey, I'm gonna play my land before I cast my spell, you know. Like, how many times have you done that or seen that happen? I feel like it's all the time.
Yeah, I think like if the opponent's like not negative like spiraling or something, or like is still kind of like in an okay mood, like sometimes that can be like funny and just like a way to shrug it off, like, oh haha, I'm gonna actually play my land for turn this time or whatever. But it's very uncomfortable as the opponent, having your opponent just kind of like do that and like spiral in front of you, and then you just kind of want to get out of the game too.
Yeah, and it's so awkward too, like we talked about, right? Like, what if it comes off like you think they're being jokey about it, right? Like, and you're like, oh, I'll do the same, and then, you know, it turns out that wasn't the case and they were really upset about it. You just created this really awkward dynamic that now is part of the game, which is very weird. I guess an upside to COVID is we don't deal with that right now. But yes, it is super detrimental, and the spiraling really does affect your game. And if you're not able to, like, course correct, it really is going to affect future matches too, right? Like, if you're thinking about how unlucky you got in another match or how poorly you played, and you're thinking about that and you're so worried about that or how others are going to perceive you or something going into the next game or match or whatever. And sometimes this is, you know, I've known people that have struggled with something they made in a mistake tournaments ago and think about it tournaments later. That's going to affect your play in those events. And it's super harmful before even talking about just, like, you know, your like mental health and things of that nature.
Yeah, I definitely probably got something in my head for a while about losing when it ends and just letting like past like misses at top eight affect me in the future. So it took me like a couple extra tries to actually push through and make a top eight, because I was just like losing when it ends left and right.
Yeah, it can be so hard, right? Like, you're like, I've been in this spot before. Like, I always lose when I go in, you know, undefeated in the Swiss or whatever, and I lose first round, or I lose playing for top eight, you know? Just, like, loss or whatever. It can be hard, and it's not easy to not, you know, not have those things happen. We're human. We're not like we're some perfect machine that understands that right now I am doing something that is negatively affecting me, you know? It feels kind of good sometimes to complain and spiral, right? Like, in the moment, you feel a little bit better because you're, like, venting, for lack of a better term. It's a very weird dynamic.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about the harmful nature of this, though, because we've been mentioning about this and how when you're always focusing on this and you're never happy with what you've done and what you've worked on, what you improved, and how the event maybe went, and how that just kind of holds you back. Allie, have you ever had, like, a relatively good event that did not end the exact way you wanted to, specifically on the last round? Because Lord knows I have.
I mean, yeah, I think that's a lot of just, like, any event I've, like, lost a win it in. And probably specifically, like, MC7. That was a rough one to just start off. What, I start off 4-0.
Yeah, you had a really good start at that one. Then you had, not to, you know, rub anything, but you had like a couple chances for a winning in, and then you had like a pair up or something like that, right? So like that's such a rocky event, and it's so easy, you know, in that moment to just be like, oh, God, I got paired up against, you know, PV. Like I had to play Canister, and then I had to play somebody, and then I had to play PV. This is, like, so unlucky. How is this happening to me? And it's so easy to...
Oh my gosh. Check out this lineup of just losses in a row. I had Canister, Huey, PVDDR, and Marcio Calvalho.
Oh, just, like, four of the top 10 players of, like, of our modern era, and multiple of those people could be easily be considered some of the best players in the game of all time. Nothing too too big.
it was a rough day too, huh?
Yeah.
That's
a hard day too, right? And it's so easy to just be like, God, it didn't go my way. But on the other hand, you played so well, you did so well in the event that you were in that competition, right? You were in that sort of field. And obviously, we much rather you win than lose, right? No one's going to say differently, but it's still kind of, it can be hard to think of it like that, right? Where it's like, wait, my last four rounds were against like four of the best players in the world right now, two maybe the best players of all time, right? Like that's so awesome. I was in those games and so close to getting out of, you know, that thing. And it can be easy to focus on what didn't happen and instead of focusing on the positive, right? Like, had deck that did well, did good this event, got X amount of money, got X amount of mythic points, not the desired outcome I want, but I can work towards that thing, and you shouldn't forego, you know, thinking about the things you can improve on, but you can also do that while being happy with the things that did happen, right? You got like top 16 or top 32 at that event, right? I don't quite remember, to be honest.
Yeah, I got top 16, and I mean, like maybe getting so many like mythic points off of it or queuing for rivals from this finish like made it be a bit easier to like not be upset and let that affect like my future tournaments and stuff.
For sure, yeah.
But yeah. I mean, like, I think, I don't know, I feel like I can be, like, pretty optimistic, especially for, like, other people, too. So if, like, my friend, like, comes up to me, they're like, oh, I'm really sad that, like, I missed top 8 again or something. I'd be like, okay, but, like, top 16, that's so awesome. You had a winning record. You beat some really strong opponents, like, et cetera. Like, I feel like I could just, like, hype up all my friends.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so hard for us to do that for ourselves, right? It's that classic, like, all right, you're describing yourself right now. Why don't you give yourself that break type thing, right? It's funny, actually, talking about this. I actually had, I lost a win-in for a top 8 1 year ago today. It popped up on my Facebook memories. Yeah.
It's like a little, like, bittersweet, like.
Yeah, I actually.
Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah, thank you, Facebook. Yeah, I got the notification that was Duffy and Kane, the tag, like, let's crush day two or whatever. And we'll end up losing two win-ins a year ago today, one of them to Harlan / Mom. And so it was really easy, though, in that moment to get, like, there was a moment where I was like, me and Kane both lost the two rounds that would have got us into day two, or sorry, into top 8. Actually, I think Duffy only lost one round the entire weekend and in top 8, which is I still feel bad about. But either way, I remember feeling like really bad about like, gosh, I let us down. I didn't do this, da 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 da, and like I had to like step away and go get some water. And like as I was walking away, I had to be like, dude, like this is like your like fifth SCG or whatever. You got to play with these awesome players, you got to have these awesome games, this awesome experience. You had two win-ins for top 8. Like it was a crazy experience. Like this is awesome. There's so many things you can learn from, and long term, hopefully, you know, this event is one that can be a building block towards more success and not a weight on me to carry me down. And I had to think about it that way, you know, and then came back, apologized to them for losing. They were like, I lost too, don't worry about it. We lost to Fanatical Firebrand in Modern, Alley. That's the kind of thing that sticks with you for your life. You know, I got flinged. Oof. I saw it happen. And so, like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's easy to tilt, though, in those moments, right? And not use it as, like, a building block moment, a learning moment. And it is that. And you can do that sort of thing. And you can be happy for yourself despite the thing that is obviously not great. So we're going to kind of transition. We kind of talked about how, like, obviously this sort of thing is bad for you. You can look at it this certain way. You can choose to, like, focus on the positive. We can choose to think about the positive and focus on it and not forget the things you need to work on. But can we talk about why doing that is so important, Allie? Like, why is it so important that we give ourselves the break and the love and the credit and that sort of thing?
I mean, if we're... Obviously, I am a huge fan of taking care of mental health as a counselor, but there's just like studies that show that like positive mental health helps us in all aspects of our life. And I think that's especially true for Magic. I think Magic is an extremely mentally taxing game, and just like competition in general can, I don't know, just kind of like wreck your mental health if you're not kind of taking care of yourself, which then is just going to harm how you actually play, right? So you're not really continuing to play competitively if you don't want to succeed or get better or have fun even. Like there's a bunch of different things. And if you're harming your mental health or not taking care of yourself, it's just going to like ruin every aspect of that for you. You're going to play poorly, you're gonna hurt your physical health too, you're not gonna like playing anymore, you're going to get burnt out. So I could go on for a while,
but... Yeah, for sure, there's just so many important things, and I love everything you said there. I wanted to hit all those points, and one final thing is you're also gonna bring down those around you too, right? Like if you are spiraling and doing the negative and you're hanging out with friends, you know, at the Steak and Shake, which was the place they knew about and took you to, you know, like, you're going to bring down the vibe of your friends as well. And that, I honestly think social interactions and social relationships are one of the most important things in Magic. And being down like that can, you know, it's normal to be down and your friends will be there for you, but you also don't want to be spiraling and bringing everyone down, especially in moments where maybe it's not super helpful and you're spiraling about things that aren't realistic. You know, they're completely out of your control, right? Like, if you had the exact 75 of a deck that won the tournament and it just didn't go your way because you molded in the five every time, we shouldn't focus on that. You know, like, we should maybe talk about, are we mulliganing too aggressively or not? But, like, after that, like, those things happen. You signed up for the event. Don't, you know, be a buzzkill, for lack of a better term, because it's going to affect them and their mental health too, right? And being a friend and being part of that means caring about them in that way.
Yeah, and you can definitely find, like, identify certain friends that are definitely, like, open to, like, talking about, like, bad beat stories or whatever. Or even just, like, friends, like, you're genuinely feeling, like, really down about this tournament. Like, what friends can you go to that, like, maybe you don't even have to talk about it. Just, like, be like, I'm really upset. Like, let's go do something else. Or, like, let's go process, like, what happened. Just, it all depends. Like, everyone has different friendships. Everyone has different, like, coping mechanisms. But being sure that you can, like, identify good spaces for you to kind of process your negative emotions and kind of like digging your way out of that, whether that be by yourself, with your friends, with like a phone call with someone or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's just an important thing that we probably should talk about. Allie, let's talk about ways that we can do this, right? That we can frame these things in a positive light, that we can try and pull ourselves out of these negative spirals, because as I'm sure you've seen as a counselor or just experience with the people, sometimes people really want to get out of these things, but it can be really hard, right? Like, they lack the experience of pulling themselves out or knowing how to do that. Or maybe this is their first time and they're like, what is this feeling I'm feeling? And maybe they haven't experienced this yet. They haven't played a big tournament or had that sort of thing happen to them. So can you think of some ways to help pull yourself out of that spiral? I think you mentioned a great one, which was find those close friends you have and be like, do y'all want to go to the bar? Do y'all want to go, like, do something? Like, I think that's a great one if the event's over, obviously. Do you have any other things that come to mind?
Yeah, something that, like, helped me that I really didn't expect it to was just kind of hearing stories and stuff from people who have been in this a lot longer than me. Like, SCG grinders. I think what helped me the most is hearing, like, things that happen to, like, platinum pros or whatever. Like, I think I mentioned this, like, a previous week, but, like, one of the pros that I looked up to all of my Magic career, like, 04 dropped the PT that I top 8ed or something, and that, like, really hit me. I'm like, oh, wow, like, this happens to pros. Like, they misevaluate a deck, they mulligan to 4 every game, they misplay, they do all this stuff. So it's not just like it's not you or me being a terrible player. Like, this stuff happens. Magic is really hard, and it's kind of just like humbling, I guess, to just kind of like understand that you're not really like in this alone. You're not in this spot alone.
Oh yeah. I have one of my favorite stories of all time, and this will ever help you if you ever feel bad at misfetching, is I'm watching Sam Black play. It's this crazy game between Sam's opponent and them, and the opponent puts Ashiok, the dream thingy, from War of the Spark on the stack, and Seth fetches one fetch land but not the other, and then cracks the fetch into the Ashiok, and it's just like, oops. Like, just a small flub, right? Like, those sort of things happen all the time, and I watched Seth. Obviously, I think Seth had cracked it, would have won the game, but they didn't like hyper fixate on it. Sam was just like, oh, that sucks. I shall now play the game as if I was down a land. You know, like, that's the game I'm playing now. I can't spiral about this thing about how silly or dumb I look. You know, there's so many people watching me, blah, 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 blah. Like, that sort of thing happens. And it happens to everyone, right? Like, just like you said, happens to the person who's playing their first time, happens to you and I, happens to Sam Black. It's just part of playing the game. And one thing I think, to kind of keep going on this thing here, is people phrase it as, like, I'm so dumb. How many times have you heard that, Allie, from someone who's, like objectively a smart person say, I'm so dumb, after playing something in Magic?
Yeah, definitely. That was one of my hugest, level up moments too, was kind of getting out of that I'm so dumb, or like, I'm so bad at Magic kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just so harmful, so negative. It's like not even true, like 99.9% of the time. Just to be like, think about it just from like an objective stance. Like, most of the time the thing that happens isn't even dumb. It's just some corner case. Like, most of the time that happens is some corner case thing or some small thing, and you just lacked experience. So while it doesn't feel good to have that thing happen, you've now gained that experience. So, like, really what they're saying is, I'm so inexperienced, right? Like, or I'm not experienced in this sort of situation. And they phrase it as them being dumb, and that, like, paints a mental and self-image that helps perpetuate these things, and it will spiral you. So I implore you, next time you feel like you're dumb, are you actually dumb, or are you just inexperienced in that situation, and now you have a new thing? And reframing it can be super helpful. But yeah, I think those are two pretty big things. Anything else that kind of comes to mind for you when it comes to, like, helping get out of this negative spin?
Yeah, I mean, kind of just, like, everything that we've talked about a bit, if you want to be a bit more, like, psychological and counsel-y about it, like...
counsel-y? Ooh!
I mean, we can just do some very basic cognitive restructuring. I mean, you already like touched on this, of just like the I'm so dumb thing. Like, can find evidence that points otherwise. Like, say, oh, I'm so dumb, I made this play. Like, you can always think, like, oh, but like in round like three, I played out of my mind and just completely outplayed my opponent and felt really good about myself. So kind of like, quote, providing evidence that you're that you're like, I'm dumb statement is not actually true. And then you can replace those thoughts with something like Mason touched on earlier, just, I'm inexperienced in this situation, I made a mistake, but I'm learning from it, et cetera, just so you don't like bring yourself down. Because like, even if you're someone who's like, oh, I use like dark humor to cope or something, like it can still end up like affecting your game. I know, like I've just been a kind of person who's just like, oh, like I lost because I'm bad, etc., etc., and I really didn't improve until I got past that. So
yeah, it can be kind of a crutch in some ways, right? It doesn't hurt your ego. I know that's like a different conversation, but it's kind of a big part of it at times. So I don't know. Yeah, it goes back to our Patreon question, right? Got to understand your goals and what you want.
Yeah,
but I would hope that when you're listening to this as someone, even if, you know, your goal isn't to be the very best Magic player you can be and just want to have a good time at events and stuff like that, that you take this to heart, because I really do feel like negative spiraling is one of the things that affects Magic players the most in tournaments, that leads to bad plays or losing around because they're spiraling and making a mistake. I can't tell you how many times I have won unwinnable games because my opponent made one small mistake and that caused a domino effect or stuff like that. And it's also one of the things that I think affects you outside of life the easiest. And helping working on in Magic can help you apply it to other things in life. Have you ever made a mistake at work, Allie, or in school and been like, God, I'm so dumb? Or are you just inexperienced?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone has.
I'm so dumb part, but, like, I mean, that's just, like, comes with, like, everything you do, right? I don't think people can, like, 100% master Magic, otherwise, like, there would be people with 100% win rates, and that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, for sure. Except for Crokies. From what I can tell from Twitter, he never loses, so.
Never once.
Yeah. Except for the PT. Awkward. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Allie, do you have any final words that you want to say on this topic?
I guess this can be like part of my plug too. Some of y'all look up to me for some reason, and if you want to see me make a ton of mistakes, just come watch my Twitch. Like,
I love it.
You'll see some mistakes.
What is your Twitch? What if I want to go there right now?
You can go to twitch.tv/mythic_meebo.
Awesome. If you want to see me make no mistakes ever, I've never made a mistake in my life, never going to start. I'm never going to lose again either. I decided that the other day. I'm just going to never lose. You can go to twitch.tv/TheMasonClark. And if you want to see C-plus memes at best, you can go to twitter.com/MasonEClark.
Twitter, give him the ability to turn replies off.
I have such a good meme. I'm so ready, but I can't I can't turn off replies, so I can't do the meme, and I'm too narcissistic. I can't give it to someone with the reply off feature. I have to wait. My meme can last up until about next rotation, like not the coming one, but the next one. That's how I have 1 year to get it. So if y'all want to go to Twitter and give me the followers so that Twitter will notice me, then I can do it. I can fulfill my life goal and my dream. And if not, I'm going to negatively spiral for a year about it and never pull out. If you want to follow the show, you go to twitter.com/CCMTG. Sorry, I thought for a second it was spelt out, but it is not. And yeah, that's where you can go. And if you want to help support the show, once again, you go to our sponsor, Oasis Games. We're going to patreon.com/CCMTG. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week for another episode of Constructed Criticism.